Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Whitetail Theories podcast. Rejoining us back on the podcast is Jimmy Pollard, Pollard Elite Game Calls, and field staffer Grant Fisher. What's going on, fellas?
How we doing? Ready to talk some turkey again?
Yep.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
So, Grant, you've really been after it. Your season has been open for quite a while, and you've been putting some birds in the dirt. How's that been going?
Pretty good. I've tagged out in South Carolina, still working on Georgia, and headed to Kansas and Nebraska on Friday. So it's pretty wide open.
Nice, nice. So when when you're going out to Kansas, Nebraska, are you specifically going after Merriam's?
I think it's going to be like kind of a mix of Rio's, Merriam's, and hybrids, just like whatever we get into, really.
Gotcha. And Jimmy and I, we're still waiting on our season to open here.
I can't tell if it's fall one day when I wake up and then it's spring the next. So I'm hoping it starts to be a little bit more consistent.
Well, did you guys get snow like in this past cold snap up there?
Yeah, we did get a little bit. Some of the up in the mountains, they got a little bit more. But we got a little bit of a dusting. It's just, you know, it seems where I'm at anyways. Turkeys are a little bit behind, and they might be in other places. They're still kind of flocked up and just now really starting to do some stuff. So I think we're gonna be okay. You know, I'm used to already hunting by now. You know, being in the South for so long, so I'm starting to get a little impatient.
Right. Yeah, it's wild. I was up that way a couple weeks ago, and the difference just in the green up compared to up there versus down here is like a month behind up there.
Yeah, the fields are just now starting to green. The turkeys are really starting to get in the fields now. I'm noticing that. But they're also starting to, a lot of the turkeys that were down low are starting to move back up high. They're starting to separate from the flocks and go back up high. So, you know, here in a couple of weeks, it's going to be a different ball game for sure.
Yeah. All right. So the topic of today is kind of, we're going to go down various rabbit holes of the do's and don'ts, some scenario-based setups, tactics, things like that, and we're going to be really utilizing the two guests here on the podcast to kind of piggyback off of them, off of their experiences, what they do, and kind of compare and contrast, because I think we're definitely going to come up with some situations that every turkey hunter goes through.
Absolutely, that's kind of what I wanted to do, is run through some scenarios that I know people have been in, that where I've been successful, and then times where I haven't been successful, but I learned why. And I think that's a big thing, is just learning why, and not repeating the same mistakes over and over and over. Is kind of what I'm hoping that we can help some people get over the hump with some, with setting up on turkeys. To me, it's the most important thing. So I've learned a lot. I continue to learn a lot. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can cover some things that maybe people haven't went through yet, so when they do go through it, they can be successful. And that's what I'm hoping that we can get out of this, is just help everybody learn and be more successful. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like you said, if you're not learning every time you step in the woods, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Because I'm not the guy that's going to tell you that I kill every turkey I set up in one, because I definitely do not do that.
So where do you want to start? Do you want to start kind of like with scouting and then like work our way through the progression of the season? Or is there a particular area that you'd like to start out?
I kind of wanted to start out with some scenarios as far as, you know, birds are already found, you're going in to hunt. And kind of, you know, when turkeys are gobbling, what goes through my head, how am I setting up on turkeys, and then when turkeys aren't gobbling, kind of how I set up and things that I go through. Kind of the things that I go through in my head, steps that I take.
Perfect. Let's roll with it.
So I want to, if I can, I want to tell a real quick story about a hunt that I had in Mississippi.
Absolutely.
Last year, because it was a learning experience for me. I had a buddy with me from Arkansas that went, and I think he learned a pretty valuable lesson as well. And we went to a piece of public we'd never been on before. Grant knows TJ Hayes, a buddy of ours from Pollard's Elite. He helped me out and kind of set me some pins, but they were just kind of not real sure. We ended up finally We didn't roost any turkeys that evening, but there were some spots that I really liked. They had big, long fingers, beautiful woods, and I told him, I said, I want to start here in the morning because we can hear a lot. We might not get on anything, but at least we're going to be able to hear. So we get to the spot. There's people everywhere. And we hear two turkeys gobbling below us. They were a pretty good piece, but there was one turkey that was gobbling pretty good across the road up behind us, and I felt like more people were going to go to the turkeys that were below because it was just a little bit easier to get to, even though it was kind of a walk, but they were easier to get to. And I told my buddy, I said, let's go across the road and go after that turkey. So we went, we get in there, and I was really taking my time. I stop a lot. And this is something that I learned. I've seen sometimes people, they hear a turkey and they just go to him. I stop a lot because you never know. There's another turkey in between you and that turkey that's gobbling that hasn't gobbled yet. And I like to stop and listen and just kind of feel the bird out, see how good he's gobbling. And the whole time I'm going, I'm thinking, I'm looking on my map, thinking about where I think I need to be. So we're taking our time. He hits the ground. I haven't called yet. And he shuts up, which is normal. And there was a lot of hunting pressure. There was a couple guys that started out hooting at him above us. And we were in a long little finger with him. It was real pretty. And he just shuts up. So we just sat down. That's something I like to do. I said, let's just sit down. Let's see what he does. An hour goes by, nothing. I call a little bit, nothing. So we start sneaking down through this finger, and there's fresh scratching everywhere. And I told him, I said, this turkey's been in here. If this wasn't scratching from this morning, this was last night. I said he was roosting right here. So I felt like we were in his bubble. We were in a good spot right off the bat, even though he wasn't doing much. And I hit the call, and he gobbled about 150 yards from us. So we started to put the game plan together how we were going to get in there. And then we had 8 different dogs come through. Now, that's not something I've experienced before. And they ran right through where the turkey was at. And I think a lot of people at that moment probably would have left. And most of the time I would have, but I was out of state trying to help a guy get his first turkey. So I was like, hey, we're going to stay. And there were some guys that started calling and they were still hooting. They finally quit and they left. And I told them, I said, if we just stay here long enough, this turkey's been buggered by people already. He's had dogs on him. But I just felt like he was by himself. Because, you know, he gobbled pretty good. And I said, I think at some point in the morning, he's gonna start gobbling on his own. We slowly kept working down, because I felt like the turkey was probably going to keep feeding back. There was a little piece of private in the back with a nice pine knob. And I felt like he was going to go there because I think he knew that was a safety net. That private right there, that's where he was going to go. So, lo and behold, 2 hours goes by. 2 hours. Now, this is 2 hours just sitting there, not calling, no gobbling, nothing. Turkey gobbling. He's about 200 yards from us. He's pretty close to where I thought he was. He's close to that pine knob. I pulled up one on it. I know how we can get to him. And, we make a move, cut the distance in half. I hit the call. He gobbles, and he's on the just over that pine knob. Long story short, there's a drainage that ran up beside it. We used that to get even with him, and it was a quick hunt. 2 minutes, the turkey comes over the top. He swung on my buddy. Buddy couldn't get a shot. I ended up killing the turkey, but that was a 2-year-old turkey. I mean, there was nothing about that turkey that was real hard other than patience. I feel like with all the people that came in, the dogs, the turkey wasn't gobbling, a lot of people get deterred when turkeys aren't gobbling. But what I've learned is you've got to be patient. Turkeys are turkeys. They're on turkey time. They gobble when they want to, and things can change in 2 minutes. And that was something I learned about just being patient, using your maps if you're not familiar with an area, to really know how you need to get set up correctly on the turkey. Because if I would have just called to that turkey all the way going to him, he would have had the high ground and he would have came over that top and peaked, and we would have never killed that turkey, in my opinion. There was just, we had to get even with him or I like to get above him if I can, but we got even with him to where when he came, when he crested the top of the knob, we could kill him. And that was a very valuable lesson for me and for my the guy that went with me. He said, man, I would have left a long time ago. He said, I can't believe we killed this turkey. It's just crazy to me. He's only gobbled four times since he hit the ground. I said, well, to kill them, they only got to gobble once. That's what my dad always said. They don't have to gobble a lot. And I think, you know, some stuff on YouTube and people see stuff on TV and expect turkeys to just run them over. And Grant, you know, hunting public land, most of the time it's just sitting. You're spending more time not hearing turkeys than you are hearing turkeys.
Exactly.
I just think that's a real valuable lesson for people. That if nothing's going on but you know there's turkeys there, stay with them. Stay with them all day. Don't call a lot. If you've got fresh scratching, fresh sign, you know where turkeys like to roost or hang out, stay there. Because sooner or later, they're going to turn on. And if you're there when they're ready, it's not going to take very long. So I just kind of wanted to share that story real quick. Because I think there's probably been people that have had crazy stuff happen to them. Turkeys get spooked. People come in on them. Don't give up. Because if a turkey's by himself, he wants to breed. Sooner or later, it might take him 3 hours. It might take him 4 hours. It might take him all the way to that evening. Sooner or later, he's going to start gobbling.
So
yeah, I can kind of. Or go ahead, what was I going to say?
No, go ahead, Grant.
I was going to say I can go over a story I've kind of had as a bird. I ended up killing last Wednesday, my third bird in South Carolina, but it took pretty much 4 days of hunting this bird to kill him. But I knew where he was and that I didn't think anybody else knew about him messing with him. So I stuck with him. The first time I went in there, I took another guy with me, and I didn't. That's when I first found that bird. He was gobbling his head off on the limb. We got set up probably 120 foot, and he flew down. I could tell he just hit a strut zone for 20 minutes. He was just gobbling back and forth. He'd come 20 yards closer and just go back, throw him and go back. And I was like, well, he's either going to break or... And so about that time, I saw there was a big deadfall between us and him. And I said, well, we can crawl up to that deadfall and maybe get a shot or be close to him. Which, as soon as we did that, he broke, went the other way, and found another bottom where he was in. And we circled that turkey three times that morning. He said he gobbled from fly down to like 8:30. And finally, I was like, all right, I ain't going to bump into quit gobbling. It's just leaving. So he left. And the next day, he didn't gobble any on the roost. But we got on him again. I had another guy with me. And I'm pretty sure we did bump him that morning. We thought we'd get a little closer, and we weren't able to. He just quit. As soon as we got closer, he quit gobbling. So I knew at that point he'd seen us, most likely. Well, we just sat down, and after 30 minutes, he started up again. But he didn't really want nothing to do with the call. But he ended up walking right there where we were set up the first time. We just weren't there anymore at that point. So I was like, that was the second day. Third day, I went in there by myself and got right to where he strutted that first morning. And he didn't gobble it a couple of times on the limb. Then he flew down right in front of me about 80 yards. Well, he was in an open bottom. He didn't want to come to where I was. Well, I was able to crawl up near where he was about to where I could get shot. But when I was crawling, he started coming to me, and he just got caught where I couldn't move. He was in range, but if I had moved, I would bust him. So I just let him go on. And then I gave him, it was 2 days of rest, and I went back in there Wednesday morning. 3 days of rest. Went back in there Wednesday morning. And I got set up in the dark where I knew he liked to fly down, and just sat, and finally two birds started gobbling, but neither one of them was where he's been roosting. There's one, they're probably both 300, 400 yards. So I just said, all right, let's be patient, see what they do. And I could tell both of them flew down, hit the ground, and they're both still steady gobbling. And I said, well, they're not coming my way. I'll slowly make a move. So I just stood up, and I went 100 yards, and I hadn't called the first time. I said, I'm not calling until I get to where I can't get any closer to them. So I got up and I went about 100 yards and he's just steady gobbling. I said, all right, I can make another 100. So I made another 100 on him and he's still gobbling. And I could tell he was in a cypress bottom on the other side of him. So I said, all right, I can get about 50 more yards. I got to there and he's still gobbling. I said, I'd like to get closer where it's more open, but I'm not sure if I do that. He's super steamy. I said, this is the closest I got. So I sat down and only had two shooting lanes. Well, sat down, got the call in my mouth. I yelped one time and he cut it off, gobbled. He was probably only 100 yards. He gobbled, and I showed up there, and about a minute later, he gobbled about half the distance to me. I looked up, he's coming running right at me. He came into the opening, I killed him. I only yelped one time, and he was dead in 5 minutes. It's mainly about just being patient and not hitting the call at all until you know where you need to be. Because if you go calling to him the whole way, he may come, he can't get a shot or bust you. You never know. Just the main lesson I learned there is adult calls and you're ready to shoot where you want to set up it. If you know where a bird is, don't just give up on it because you kill him after the first couple hunts. Just keep hunting that turkey and know you don't pressure him too much, but if you feel like you can stick with him until you got him.
That's a super good example of, you know, like we talked about in the last segment, just being in their bubble. You know, it took you a couple times, but you figured it out. And then what I tell people, once you figure it out or you get in a turkey bubble, it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. If they're ready to die and they hear you, they're coming. You better be ready to shoot.
But, you know, I like that you made the moves you did. I tell people all the time, and I've learned this, I'm not afraid to get aggressive when it comes to, if I know that I've got to make a move to kill a turkey, if I know for a fact I'm not where I need to be and he's not coming, at some point, you're going to have to let him gobble and move off, or you're going to have to, you know, go in the next day and set up. But you've got to make a move and get aggressive sometimes with turkeys and get where they want to be or where they feel comfortable being. So you can be the best caller in the world. You can hunt private land, public land, the best land in the world. It doesn't matter. If you're not where he wants to be, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Well, here, I got a question for both of you. So, you know when you can get in those patches of turkeys where there's a lot of hens and you're competing with potentially a gobbler that's roosted in an area, flies down, makes three gobbles, and then next thing, like, he's got 10 hens on him. What do you guys do in that type of situation as far as, like, how are you waiting out the bird? Are you just waiting until later in the afternoon when the hens go in the nest? Are you waiting further into the season when more and more hens are getting bred and then you don't have quite as much competition? Kind of talk about, like, natural competition as far as that stuff goes.
Well, I think most of the time, I know most of the time when I kill turkeys, they had hens with them at some point throughout that day. Very seldom do I get a turkey that's all by himself ready to go. It's usually a turkey, like Grant was saying, you got to hunt a couple days and figure them out because they got hens with them. What I like to do is, if a turkey's gobbling on the roost and I get in there and I figure out, okay, this turkey hits the ground, he sets up, he's got hens, I might call to him a little bit, see if I can get him fired up, or, you know, see if I can get the hens responsive. But most of the time they gobble, and every time they gobble, they're just going farther and farther away because the hens are taking them away. What I like to do in that situation is I'll go back there the next morning and I'll try to get within 60 yards where I thought they were roosted that morning. I really believe on getting in as tight as possible with turkeys on the roost, especially if they have hens. If you can get in really, really tight on the roost, you have a super good chance of when he flies down, even if he has hens, of killing him because you're already in his bubble right off the bat. So the scenario, like you were saying, if you've got a bunch of hens, I figure that out the next morning, I get in tight, he gobbles. I'm probably not going to call real much because I don't want the hens to hear me and then, you know, them fly, you know, 100 yards right away and take him. I'm probably going to let that turkey hit the ground and see what he does. I'll call to him a little bit. Maybe the hens will be interested. And if they're not, I'm going to see where they go. And if they do the same thing that they did the day before, kind of like what Grant figured out, that turkey, now I know what, then I, now I kind of turned my tactic to hunting the hens, if that makes sense. I'm going to go where they want to go. You know, if there's a turkey, if they're roosting on the knob and they fly down to a bottom every morning, those hens like to pick and scratch in that bottom, there's no reason for you to be on that knob the third day. You need to be in that bottom where those hens feel comfortable. And if they're already going that way, it's a lot easier to, you know, coax hens in with some soft calling and stuff because, you know, they already want to go that way anyway. So that's one of the tactics that I like to use if a turkey's just got tons of hens and he, it seems like every time you hunt him, you've got hens. I want to figure out where the hens are going, what are they doing in the middle of the day, because if you stick with them throughout the middle of the day, sooner or later, you know, and I've seen this happen so many times, sooner or later, and it might be on accident, he's going to lose his hen. Now, they may just feed off over a knoll or around a, or get up on a bench and he's still below them, or, you know, vice versa. and he loses them for a minute or two. And I've watched turkeys do this so many times. When they lose those hens, they immediately start gobbling. They almost panic in a way sometimes because they don't see the hens anymore. And if you've stuck with that turkey all day and you're in his bubble the whole time because you're where those hens want to be, sometimes you can make a, you know, follow that turkey and he'll run you right over because he thinks you're, you know, one of the hens that he's been with all morning. And I've also had things happen where I'm kind of in and around where I think they're going to be. I got fresh scratching. I know their hens are coming that way. And then for some reason, one morning, one of those hens decides that she's going to be vocal. And I've had hens jump right on me, and I jump back at them, and here comes the whole flock, and here comes the turkey, and boom. But I think a lot of people are really intimidated by turkeys with hens, hen-up turkeys. It's one of the most talked-about tactics. I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that a gobbler with hens can be killed just as easy as a gobbler without hens. But you've got a couple more variables. You've got to figure out where they like to be. You can't overcall, and you just got to be super patient and stick with them all day. And that's what I have found that worked the best for me. Grant might have a different take. There's lots of other ways to go, but I just try to be patient, get where I know those hens like to be all day, and just stay with them.
Yeah, going on top of what you just said, I think patience is probably the most important word when it comes to turkey hunting. But then it all goes on, too, if the hens are vocal or not. If they're vocal off the limb, you can get them talking and you can bring the hens to you, then you're probably going to bring the bird with you and you'll have a good hunt right off the limb. But if the hens are silent, there's no need in raising Cain, calling as much as you can when the hens don't want to be talked to, then they're just going to take him the other way. But like you said, too, if it's like that, nothing's talking, the hens aren't, he quits gobbling. Maybe either go to a different spot or they go get breakfast and come back at 10 o'clock to that spot or something to see if that gobbler's already been off the hens or even in the middle of the day or the afternoon. I've killed a lot of turkeys in the afternoon. If you catch them by themselves then, and you gobbles, you better be getting ready. But kind of just all depends on hoping he leaves the hens at some point or just being patient, sticking with that bird throughout the whole day and hoping at some point that he's going to lose that hen. And when he does, you better be there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with both of you there. Well, I mean, with the little experience that I do have, but as far as like hen-up turkeys with what you said, Jimmy, it is definitely one of the like things that people think that they're like, all right, if a gobbler gets hen up, it's unkillable. So it's really reassuring to hear that they are still killable and just figuring it out.
I was going to say, maybe say if you're just hunting before work and you don't have time to stick with that gobbler all day or something, drop a pin on that gobbler and come back in a week or 2 weeks or maybe in a few days. And by then, them hens may be gone and he'd be by himself killing him off the limb.
Yeah.
Don't just forget about him.
All right. And a quick example of this, I had a friend from Arkansas call me the other day. They killed a turkey and you stayed with a kid and it was the same thing. The turkey ended up killing was in a field with a bunch of hens. And they'd call it to him a little bit, and he gobbled, but, you know, people got to realize that when they have hens, there's no reason for them to gobble, so don't be deterred if you don't hear him. Doesn't mean he's not there. Doesn't mean that he's left. He just has hens. There's no reason for him to gobble. And they did, you know, what I would do. They stuck with him, and that turkey, you know, he come back to the top of the field to be seen. He was strutting. You know, my buddy was calling to him a little bit and was kind of getting his attention. And his hens had fed off back down to the woods. And this goes back to what I was saying. He turned around and didn't see his hens, and he kind of panicked. And my buddy said he'd come out of that shade and got right out in the sun and just started gobbling. He gobbled like 4 or 5 times on his own. And what that turkey was doing is saying, hey, where are you guys at? Well, you know, my buddy Cody read it perfectly. He jumped right on that turkey and started calling to him. That turkey walked 450 yards all the way down the edge of the field. That kid killed him 20 steps.
Jeez.
Now, most people would have said, he ain't leaving that field. He's not leaving those hens. Let's go find another one. But that is a perfect example of turkey's moods changed. He was content. He had his hens. But it's the moment that he thought that he had lost his hens, and he heard a hen that was receptive and responsive to him, his attitude completely changed, and he dropped strut and walked and never stopped and walked right to him. He, you know, it was a learning experience for that kid and the guy that was with him, because they said, we would have never killed that kid. We would have just left or just watched him all day. And that just goes to show you, it's easier in a field situation because you can see how the turkeys react. But I always try to put it in this perspective. When they're in the woods, they're doing the same thing. He's strutting, he's drumming, they're feeding. I try to keep that visual in my head of, I'm going to keep sticking with him. And if I hear that turkey start to gobble on his own, that means something. He's either lost his hens, or his hens have left him to go nest or what have you. But when that turkey's mood changes, you've got to be there to capitalize on that. I don't care if he's got 60 hens. If he's got hens and he loses them, or he starts gobbling on his own, he's telling you that for a reason. He's being responsive and gobbling on his own for a reason. And if you're there to jump on him and capitalize on that, you can kill a lot of turkeys that way.
Yeah, and I guess going off what you said a little bit about, if you actually lay an eyes on a turkey, you have a lot to pay a lot of attention to just be observant and see what they're doing. If you start seeing that head change colors or anything like that, or gobbling or drumming, and you can tell that something's changed about him, you might ought to be doing something different with your tactics or seeing what's got his attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I love talking about field turkeys, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit anyway. If you're watching some turkeys in a field and he's not strutting, just a couple gobblers picking around, and you call to that turkey and he gobbles, and like Grant said, his head color changes and he goes in the strut, that's a turkey that I'm going to start calling to. Because he's giving me body language and he's being vocal. He's telling me two things. He's ready. He's wanting to breed that hen. Now, if I call to a turkey and he never comes out of strut, or he never gobbles, or he never goes in the strut and he just keeps feeding, you know, that's just a turkey that's not ready yet. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to be ready at some point throughout the day. And I really am going to keep hammering on that. And people, I hope nobody, you know, gets annoyed, but you've really got to learn to be patient, especially if you've got eyes on turkeys, even if they're not doing it. Give them a couple hours. Stay with them. Be patient. Don't overcall. And the thing of the bunch, turkeys getting a front. They wake up, they're just not gobbling, they're not strutting, they're just kind of feeding around, doing around, and all of a sudden, something changes. I don't know what that is. Something makes them want to start gobbling, make them receptive to corn, and I see turkeys doing that a lot. So, staying with them, being patient, with or without him is the key. You've got to be patient.
Something just kind of popped into my head here. So, you guys keep harping on the patience, patience, patience. How often are you guys employing, like, the run-and-gun tactics? Like, to me, it sounds like you more or less got your birds narrowed down into specific locations, and then you're just working those locations rather than running ridges and trying to just happenstance strike up a hot bird.
If I don't have any turkeys found, like, you know, our season opens up this Saturday, and I have no leads. I have zero turkeys found. I haven't had a time. The weather hasn't been great. I have not heard a turkey gobble yet this year. I haven't even went. So, Saturday, my plan will be to cover as much ground as possible. I will, you know, run and gun, walk ridges, call, you know, like you were just saying. There's times for that. But, well, I guess what I'm referring to is if I strike a turkey, or if I hear a couple of turkeys off the limb Saturday morning and I don't kill them, I'm going to go back in there Monday or Tuesday when I can, and I'm going to stick with those turkeys, even if they're not gobbling, because I know they're there. Now, I won't waste my whole season. If I hear a couple turkeys gobble off the limb and I go in there two or three times and I don't ever hear them, I'm going to go try to find another turkey, obviously. I mean, that's the goal, is to find a hot turkey. But if I have turkeys responding to me every now and then, or they're gobbling decent, or they're gobbling every day, there's no reason for me to leave. You know, a lot of people will. I'm going to stay with those turkeys, and sooner or later, I'm going to be there when their mood changes. So that's kind of my tactic. If I don't have birds found, I'll cover a lot of ground. If I get up in the middle of the day and I haven't heard anything all day, I'll cover a lot of ground trying to strike one up in the middle of the morning. Definitely not afraid to do that. But I guess the patience really kicks in when, if you know there's turkeys there, or you're working a turkey that morning and he shuts up on you, or you only gobble a couple times off the limb, don't get discouraged. You know, there's nothing wrong with giving them a couple days break. There's nothing wrong with going and trying to find a turkey, but don't give up on that turkey. That turkey can be killed. He's just not ready yet. That's all it is.
I know where a turkey is. I'll say like that turkey the other morning, the second day I hunted, and nothing gobbled on the roost, but I knew he was in that block of woods, man. I don't know, I went in there a couple hundred yards, so I feel like I could cover that whole block of woods, and the first time I called, he gobbled. Okay? He didn't gobble on the roost, but I knew he was there. And then another time I went in there and didn't hear nothing, and I'll just say I didn't hear anything on the roost. He didn't hit the call. I may just set up and not call or anything for 30 or 45 minutes, see if he starts up. And if he don't, then I'll probably maybe go somewhere else. But and a lot of times, just sitting and listening for a little while, you'll hear a gobble. But if not, and say, I don't know where a turkey is, I'll just cover ground all day hoping I'll get one. But if I know where some birds are, I'll try to spend a little time with every bird that I may have located. If they're not gobbling, just sit and listen, or get a call every now and then, see if they'll respond. But it's all about really whether you know where any birds are. If you don't, it's kind of two different scenarios. Whether you're hunting a bird you found or just trying to find new birds and drop pins for a later date.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting somewhere, and Grant, I know you've been through this a bunch. You'd be sitting there, nothing's gobbling off the roost, and then all of a sudden, an hour after fly down, a turkey gobbles 100 yards from you. And you're like, where was he at all morning? Well, he was right there. You know, he just wasn't gobbling, but now he is, and that's all that matters. Now he is gobbling. You're back in the game. You're right where you need to be. And that's the good part about sticking to turkeys, paying attention to sign, paying attention where turkeys like to be, you know, in the middle of the day and stuff. Because if you're in those areas when you hear one, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're probably pretty close to already being in his bubble. You're already in an area he likes to be. He's gobbling on his own. So, you know, now you're going through the fence. Do you need to move, or are you good where you're at? Work that turkey and kill him. But I've killed a lot of turkeys by just sitting against a tree, and then they just start gobbling on their own. I can't tell you how many times that's happened.
Yeah, exactly. I've had that same thing, or this year a lot. I always keep a mouth on my mouth. But say you're leaving the spot, or just exploring a new area, just start yelping and clucking as you're walking, just naturally like a hen does. I mean, sometimes they're always just clucking, yelping, purring, you know, walking around. They're not always silent. And gobble will pay attention to that. I think it's 5 or 6 times this year now. I've just been walking down a logging road, walking through some hardwood, yelping and clucking, and a bird will strike up right there at it. There he was. And it's like, well, if you just walk in nonchalant, not paying any attention, not calling or nothing, you'd have never struck that bird, never heard of it. And sometimes just making a little noise, calling, sound like a hen feeding, the woods will pay off and strike the bird up for you.
Yeah, I've had the same thing happen. I mean, you just got to stay with them. And I don't know how many times I've walked a spot out, I didn't hear anything, and then on my way back, I end up killing a turkey. And you always think after you kill it, why didn't he gobble the first time I came down through here? I don't have the answer to that. I don't know if anybody will, but it just goes to show you that just because they're not gobbling now, don't mean they won't be gobbling 2 minutes from now. And that's why you've got to spend as much time as you can around turkeys or where you think turkeys are at. It's only a matter of time before one of them decide to start gobbling.
What other scenario-based situations do you guys want to cover?
I'd like to talk about, you know, field turkeys as far as, you know, somebody gets into a situation where they're hunting, you know, field turkeys, or they just happen to stumble upon a field and there's a turkey in a field. And you don't have decoys, and he's not being responsive. You know, a lot of people will call and call and call to that turkey. You know, he's not doing anything. A lot of people have problems with field turkeys. I love to hunt field turkeys more than anything, because I have an advantage that most, they don't think about the advantages you have. When a turkey's in a field, you've got eyes on him the whole time. You can watch that turkey go through so many different stages throughout the day. Of maybe he's out there breeding some hens, or he's just out there by himself just feeding. And you might literally be able to watch that turkey, like I was talking earlier, spark up, start to strut, start to gobble. But what I like to do with field turkeys is I like to just be super patient. I like to watch what they're doing. And if I see a turkey making a beeline for a corner, or if I feel like he's making a move, I can back out, try to keep my eyes on him while I make a move and get in front of him. That's the biggest thing with field turkeys is once they get in the middle of the field, they can see everything. So it's super hard to get a turkey to commit out of a field or to a different corner of the field when he can see everything. He can see where you're calling, and he's like, I don't see a hen. I'm out here, so come out here. But if you're not calling and you let that turkey make the first move and he starts making a beeline to a break in the fence or a logging road on the other side or a bottom side of a field, you swing around and get in front of that turkey, he's already got it in his mind that he wants to go that way. I've killed a bunch of turkeys by slipping around, getting in front of them, and either one, they just walked right up to me and I killed them, or two, I get in front of them and I close to them a little bit, and here they come. So I have people asking all the time, man, I got these turkeys on my property and they fly out in the middle of the field. And they do the same thing every day, but I can't kill them. And I just tell them, you got to quit trying to kill them in the field. When they're already in the fields, it's really, really hard. You've got to let those turkeys make the first move, in my opinion. Let them break. They're going to leave that field at some point to go dust, to go breed, to go get in the shade, to go feed, to go do something. And when they make that move, that's when you make your move and you can kill them. But a lot of people try to set up in the corner of those fields with decoys, and unless that turkey wants to go to that particular corner that's set up, he's just going to stand out there and gobble all morning. So I like to just observe what they're doing. I don't call. I might call a little bit just to gauge his interest. If he doesn't move, that's fine. I'm going to stay there with him. And when he starts to make a move, I'm going to make a move and try to get in front of him or try to get a little bit better set up.
Yeah. Great philosophy, just how you're talking about. Like, you always have your eyes on the turkey. When you see him make a move, you can counter his move. You can, at some point, he's going to leave that field. He's not going to stay there all day. When he makes a move, you can. And it's just like, just because you can see him, don't sit there calling. Even if he's gobbling, say he gobbles every time you call. You don't need to hit the call just to make him gobble, because you can hear him gobble, because he's really not accomplishing anything.
Yeah, except attracting other people or predators.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love field turkeys, and especially here in Pennsylvania, you know, it's a lot of farmland, a lot of fields. I get people messaging all the time, come help me call in this field turkey, or hey man, what would you do? And I just think people overthink it a little bit. You have the advantage. You can see him. You know he's there. So you've already got that accomplished. I found a turkey. I know where he's at. And you just got to be patient. And I've had them stand out there and gobble and gobble, and all of a sudden they decide to break, and they come right to me. Sometimes they just stand out there all day and strut and strut and strut and strut, and then when they make a move, I get in front of them. And sometimes I can't make a move, and that's okay. If a turkey makes a move and you're like, oh, man, I can't get around him. He's going to see me. You know, not all field edges have cover to where you can move on a turkey, and that's okay. If I see that turkey break, and he goes to the break of the fence, you know, tomorrow morning where I'm going to be in the break of the fence. That doesn't mean that's what he's going to do the next day. The next day he might go to another corner. But sooner or later, as long as I don't follow that turkey too much and pressure him, he's going to make the wrong move sooner or later. He's going to go back to the break of the fence, and I'm already going to be there. He's going to make a move over that roll of the hill, and I'm going to make a move on him and kill him. So I just tell people, stay patient. Keep your eyes on him. Like Grant said, there's no reason to keep making gobbling. You've got eyes on him. That's all you need. And sooner or later, that turkey's going to make the wrong move, and you're going to kill him. And once you've done that a few times, when I get turkeys in the field, I just smile because I really enjoy it. It doesn't mean that I'm going to kill him, but I'm learning at turkey and his what he likes to do every minute I get to watch him, how he reacts to stuff. I kill turkeys in fields. When crows started going off and it got him gobbling, and the crows come out there and pestered him, and he kept gobbling, and I started cutting and yelping to him while he was in that mood change of gobbling, and it just sparked his interest. He broke out of strut and came right to me. Now, that's not always going to happen, but to me, that is the advantage of being able to see a turkey's body language. When he hit that peak of gobbling and he was really excited, I hadn't called to him yet. I called to him, boom, here he came all the way across the field. So, you know, we've talked about the hen-up gobblers that, you know, can deter people. But there's advantages of that, because they like to do sometimes the same thing over and over. Same thing with a field turkey. A lot of people get deterred by a field turkey, but if you just really just don't overthink it and just let him tell you what he wants to do and let him make the first move, that's some of the best turkeys you can get on is a field turkey, in my opinion.
Yeah, and where you was talking about, like, going through a barbed wire fence or knowing the ridge or going through a certain spot of the woods every time, like, the turkey doesn't do something for no reason. Usually if he does it once, he's going to do it twice. Say, you may see him do something, and then you go sit there, and he doesn't do it the second time, but the third time you see him, he's liable to do what you saw him do. Like, eventually he's going to do that same thing again for some reason.
And I tell people, and I know we brought him up in the last podcast, I'm making him more famous than what he already is, but Dave Owens, if you watch him with field turkeys, and he hunts a bunch of them, he kills a bunch of them. You know, when he first gets on those turkeys, he calls to them almost every time, and he's doing that to gauge their interest. What are they interested? What are they doing? And a lot of the times they don't move. But what does he do? He stays with them all day long. He keeps eyes on them, and he keeps making moves, and he almost always kills them. And, you know, and he's not doing anything crazy. He's just being super patient, using his woodsmanship to be able to make the moves when he can, and just letting the turkey tell him what he needs to do. And I think if people start looking at it more as an advantage instead of a disadvantage, I think they'll start killing a lot more field turkeys. And
don't let the rain keep you out. If it's just a little rain, and you know it's going to stop. I mean, sometimes when the rain breaks will be the best time to be in the woods. So, easy day, I killed turkey this year. The wind was blowing like crazy, but I happened to get where he could hear my call, and it was the middle of the day. And as soon as he did, he was dead in 5 minutes. I mean, it's just don't let weather conditions and whatnot keep you out. I mean, if you want to kill a bird this turkey season, and you got a spot to be, you should be there and trying to find one.
Yeah, turkeys don't tell time. You know, they don't know what time of day it is. You know, everybody wants to get on turkeys right off the roost and kill them, and that's fun, and I like to do it too, but 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock is no different for a turkey. He's doing his thing, and he'll gobble just as good at 4 o'clock as he will at 8 o'clock when he wants to. When they want to gobble, they're going to gobble, and you can't let time of day or, like Grant said, weather deter you, because that doesn't deter turkeys a lot of times. Yeah, wind and rain can shut them down, but that can also be a day when that turkey decides he's going to gobble. So you've got to maximize your opportunities by constantly being in the woods and just staying persistent. And the more consistent and persistent you are, sooner or later, you're going to kill a turkey, because when he's ready to go, when he starts gobbling, you're going to be there and you're going to be ready. So time of day means nothing to me. I don't care if I haven't heard a turkey all day and it's 30 minutes before fly up. I'm still going to hunt, and I'm still going to be confident that at any second I'm going to kill a turkey. So, you know, for the guys that are just getting into it, don't fall into that 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and go get coffee. Take your coffee with you, take your snacks with you, and make it an all-day event, because at any moment it can finish.
Well, let me ask you guys this. All right, so if you look back across your turkey kills, at what time period have you killed the most birds? I was just talking to my buddy about this. He's killed the majority, like 70% of his birds, after 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I would say at 9 to 2, 10 to 2. Me and Dad always have the same 10 to 2 because it's our favorite time to bow hunt. It's our favorite time to turkey hunt. It just seems like big bucks like to get on their feet in the middle of the day. And, you know, your turkeys, you know, they're with hens all morning. They lose their hens, or their hens go to nest, or the weather changes, or what it may have you. Like Grant and I said in the first segment, and he said it today, middle of the day is some of my favorite times to hunt, because almost always if you hear a turkey later up on the day, he's either by himself or he wants another hen. So anytime, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, if your state will let you hunt that long, you know, here at PA, we've got to stop till noon until the last 2 weeks. But I hunt right up until I have to quit during Pennsylvania. I mean, I have killed a ton of turkeys at 11:30. And most people are already home because they think, well, if I hear one now, I ain't going to have time to kill him. If I hear one at 11:30, a lot of times it only takes 5 minutes to kill. So I would agree my favorite time to hunt anything is middle of the day.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you were talking, I think four out of the last six turkeys I've killed have been in the afternoon. This year I killed the one last week, it's somewhat right off the roof. I think I shot him at 7. He flew down around like 6:35, 6:40, it shouldn't end. But the other two I killed this year have been at like 6 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Then last year I killed one at like 5, 4, and then one about 7:30 in the morning. So, I mean, I kill a lot of my birds like between 3 o'clock and dark. And then if I get off work and I got time to get in the woods, I'm going because I know I can either set up on striking the feeding sign or tracks on the road and just soft call and wait. One's liable to walk up silently. Or if I happen to strike a bird, I got even better odds of killing me right in the afternoon.
I'll just put it this way. I can count on one hand how many turkeys I killed within 30 minutes of fly down. And out of all the turkeys I killed in Arkansas, I only killed one within an hour after fly down.
Wow.
So, and that's in multiple states. I mean, that's Kansas. That's other states where turkeys are more vocal. I mean, I kill 95% of my turkeys after 9 o'clock. And I kill all my deer. Every buck I've ever killed has been after 8:30. I mean, there's just something about that time. You know, just sometimes it just takes turkeys a little bit of time when they get on the ground. You know, they might have got spooked on the roost, or they might have, just sometimes it takes them a little bit of time to get warmed up. They might have had bad weather the night before. It might have been terrible weather early that morning. There's just something about the middle of the day when the sun breaks out, if something changes, the wind dies down. I don't know what it is, but there's just something about the middle of the day that it just changes turkeys and deer movement. It goes hand in hand. And I don't even get in a hurry anymore. If I'm late going to turkey hunting and I'm going to miss turkeys gobbling off the roost, it doesn't bother me because half the people are going to be gone within 8-9 o'clock and I'm going to have all those places to myself anyway. So I definitely wouldn't get in a hurry. And there's many days where I'll sleep in and I don't even get out in the woods till 9 o'clock. Last year, opening day of Arkansas, I didn't get out till 10 o'clock and I had turkeys called in by noon and I missed. You know, that happens, but that was one of those things where there had been people pounding them all day. I walked in there at 10 o'clock, bang, struck two turkeys up and they come in it took 3 minutes. So, I mean, it just goes to show you gotta stay after it. It's hard. I get just as mad and disappointed as everybody, but I just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and sooner or later, it's going to happen.
Well, talking about staying after it in that mindset, what do you guys do to keep focused, like to keep your head in the game, to keep, like, the birds aren't gobbling, it's hot, the bugs are biting, blah, blah, blah. What do you guys do to keep your head in the game? And, like, what would you recommend to other hunters to help keep their heads in the game?
Well, for me, I just look back at what we just talked about, all my success that I've had. In that time period, I look back at, I don't know how many days I was ready to quit. And then some of my most memorable turkey hunts are on my worst days. What, you know, I remember one day I was sick and I got lost and didn't even know if I was going to make it back to my truck. And I hadn't heard a turkey in 4 days and season was almost over, and here I am, you know, supposed to be able to kill turkeys, and I couldn't even hear one. And then within 3 minutes, I was standing over a flopping turkey. And it's things like that that the reason I love turkey hunting so much is I've never encountered an animal that is so moody. They change from minute to minute. They're different. And that's what keeps me going, is just knowing somewhere there's a turkey ready to die. There's a turkey losing his mind. There's a turkey by himself. It might be 9 o'clock. It might be 3 o'clock. But one of these turkeys sooner or later is going to break. And when they do, because I'm still out there, I'm going to have an opportunity. For a new guy that doesn't have any experience and hasn't killed a lot of turkeys, I would look at it as this way. You got less people in the woods, so you've got a lot of it to yourself. And Use it as a learning experience. Go learn some new ground. Go cover some new spots. That's how a lot of turkeys get killed, especially on public land. Guys just walk into a random spot, and boom, they kill a turkey. And another thing that I'll bring up, too, for a new turkey hunter is I can't tell you how many times I pulled up to a spot when someone was pulling out. I mean, pulling out as I'm pulling in. You have any luck this morning? No, I didn't hear nothing. I'm back to the truck within 30 minutes of the turkey. So don't let hunting pressure deter you, because turkeys aren't dumb. When that gravel quiets down on them state game land roads and they don't hear gravel popping, they're not hearing owl hooters and people aren't calling and everything starts to die down, those turkeys notice it. And it's also around the same time when they start losing their hens or their hens go to nest up into the day. So you put all those things together and it, sooner or later a turkey somewhere is going to gobble. So for a new guy, it's a great time to learn new woods, find new signs, find new turkeys. You got less competition, and you're probably not going to hear as much gobbling, but when you hear a turkey gobble that time of the day, 9 times out of 10, he's coming. And I know Grant will agree with me. Very few times have I set up on a turkey in the middle of the day and didn't have an opportunity to.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, like, I guess your question is pretty much like how you stay focused throughout the season after no loss or whatnot. Then I'll go back to what Jimmy was talking about. Missing a bird earlier, I'm pretty much seems like good for a daggone miss every year. And after it, you just kind of don't even go on to go back. And it's like you'll have people tell you, "I've never missed a turkey," and my response is, "Well, you hadn't shot it enough of them, because if you do, you're going to miss." But don't let a miss get you down, because in 2 years in a row, on April 4th, I went by myself and missed a turkey, and then I don't even want to go back the next day. And then both last year and this year, April 5th, I go and call a turkey in for a friend. It's like just the mood change like that. You ain't even thinking about missing that turkey no more. Like this year, I was like 2.8 miles back in the National Forest. Hadn't heard a gobble all day and strike a bird and on the side of the bottom. I get set up and I never saw him actually come through the bottom. The next thing I know, I hit the call and struck right there 80 yards walking right to me. And pretty much I just shot before I should have. I thought he was in range and apparently he wasn't. And I shot and he went down and got back up and I never found him. Then had to walk 3 miles back out without my turkey. And talk about feeling defeated, not wanting to go back the next day. But my friend called me and said, "You want to come to my place?" And I was like, "Sure." And we went and had one bed at like 7:45. So, I mean, it's all about just staying after them. And one of my friends always says, it's about how bad you want the bird. And if you want it bad enough, you're going to keep yourself in the woods for as much as you can.
All right. Well, I think that's a pretty good ending point, fellas. We're working on 2 hours here. Why don't you guys give the gamut of if anybody wants to bounce some questions off of you guys, your social media, how they can get in touch with you. Jimmy, why don't you give the layout too, as far as where people can find Pollard's Elite Calls if they want to purchase your calls and give them a try.
Yeah, so if you go to www.pollardselitecalls.com, you can get right on our webpage there, and you can actually click on a link of each call that you're interested in. There's sound files of us running the calls and descriptions of the calls, so it's pretty neat to be able to hear the calls before you purchase them. I'm always available on social media. I'm not one of those guys that don't like to be bothered. I love, you know, new people and turkey hunters messaging me and asking me questions. If keep in touch, you can find me on Facebook. You can, if you can't figure out the website or you're one of those old school guys, no problem, call me. And I can get a hold of my dad and get you some calls. Yeah, I'm available anytime. I really hope people do reach out to me and Grant and ask us questions, because, you know, that's why I do these things. I don't do them to become famous. You know, I want to help people. I was fortunate enough to grow up with someone who, you know, learned the hard way, and I came up and really didn't create any bad habits. So I was very fortunate that not a lot of people have, you know, someone around them that can help them or have someone with a wide knowledge. So Anytime anyone has any questions, feel free to hit me up on social media, and I'll always make time for people, especially to answer questions and help them out. But, yeah, so just go to PollardsEliteCalls.com. You can order straight off the website. If you don't want to do that, you can get a hold of me or Grant on social media, and we'll get you hooked up.
Yeah, and absolutely, just to talk about Pollard's Elite and his only mouthfault. I've never been confident running the woods. If you hadn't ran one of Jim's calls, you can definitely get it and try one out, and I know for a fact you won't be disappointed. And just, yeah, I'm the same as Facebook and Instagram, and Thor knows that mine are. He's put it in notes on the podcast, but if anybody ever has any questions, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll do my best to help or find somebody who can.
And hopefully next time when we do a podcast, I kill a few turkeys and I'm catching up to Grant. He's got a pretty good head start, so.
Yep, so I'll have all that in the show notes. Be sure to go back and listen to part one. We covered pretty much the gamut from A to Z as far as turkey hunting, and this is meant to be just an add-on and a takeaway from that earlier podcast. I'll have that linked in the show notes as well. I'll have all the guys' social media, so definitely if you have questions, bounce some questions off the guys. I'll have the links for Pollard's Elite Calls, where you can find them, how you can purchase them, and I really appreciate you guys hopping on to do a part two.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Anytime. I really enjoy doing it. Maybe we can come up with something else or another topic. I really enjoy doing it. So you guys just keep in touch and let me know. I'm pretty flexible.
Yeah, maybe after your season, PA season, you know, we can get together and just tell scores about each other's season or something.
Yeah, just do a recap, kind of stuff that we learned and stuff like that. I think people would want to hear that. I got lots of really good feedback off the first podcast we did. Lots of people messaged and enjoyed it. So I think this one's going to be even better because we really touched on some stuff that I think people are kind of scratching their heads with.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, fellas. Thanks again. Thanks everybody for listening to the Whitetail Theories podcast. If you enjoy this podcast or any of the podcasts from before, have learned something, please subscribe, leave a review wherever you're listening to your podcasts.